to know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance podcast.
I still have to get used to those new jingles. Welcome to a brand new podcast. My name is Ruben Ron. In the studio today, we have Adam Turner, aka Farius.
Hi.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Yeah, really good. Nice to be here. I love Amsterdam. I was just saying to you when we had lunch.
Yeah.
I love it here. It's such a cool city.
I don't understand it.
I love the people. I love the mentality. I love the language.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. Finally here in the studio, because we've had you at numerous events already. Yeah. You played a lot for us already.
Yeah.
You did a guest mix, but that was in the middle of lockdown. So
yeah.
You were not allowed to leave UK.
I
no Brexit.
We were meant to. I think I was meant to come, and then it was like, actually, you know, they kept changing restrictions. It was
yeah.
Like, no, you can't travel. Then you can travel. Then eventually, I remember I recorded it from Enhanced in London.
Yeah.
And I pitched up like everyone was just wearing masks, and it was like keeping the distance.
Think about it.
I know.
Strange times anyway.
But it's nice to be here. And you're right. It feels like a long time coming.
Yeah.
You know, done Stage France London this summer.
Yeah. Utrecht as well.
Utrecht this year. And Mexico. So yeah, it's cool. It feels like I've done it the wrong way around.
Well, there's no wrong or right in this case. So you're here for a good reason. We'll talk about that in just a little bit as well. But every podcast, I like to start at the very beginning, the moment that you fell in love with dance music. But do you still remember which tune was like, okay, this is the moment that you're like, okay, this is it for me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Easy. Chicane, Saltwater.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I'm 35, so I was about 10, maybe 9, 10, 11. And I used to collect all the CDs. Like in the UK, we have you might have it here. It's a compilation series called Now That's What I Call Music.
Yeah. And I have, yeah. Now I have Hits all, or Now yeah. Dance or yeah.
And I think I had like Now Something. And then I was just like, I loved all the dance. I liked the pop stuff, but the dance stuff as well. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go and see what other dance, when compilations were huge, and I bought like, you know, Trance Addict, and yeah, it was that one. It was on there, and I was like, this is incredible. And I think it wasn't the fact that it was dance music. It was just melodic. And I found everything else kind of a bit too repetitive. And I was just like blown away. I was like, wow. So yeah, that was the moment.
I can imagine that a tune like that will makes you fall in love with music or dance music in general.
And it was before, you know, I was too young to hit the clubs, obviously. So it was like, you know, it was before all of that. And yeah, I have a lot to thank.
So that's where your journey started?
I would say so. I would say with dance music, yeah. And then I kind of, you know, got into the other trancey bits. Do you remember Papendorf?
Yeah, cool. Buffendorf, cool,
be,
yeah.
Yeah, be cool. You yeah. be cool.
Yeah.
That one
as
well.
Buffendorf always had like really, really good remixes on their tracks. I have a bunch of their vinyls as well.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still have it. And I have this, I have this CD, like this is like how far back it goes. I have this, it's like this pink CD. It's called like Addicted to Trance or something from like 1990 something. And you can see like, there's like a little 10-year-old handwriting, and I'm critiquing each track on the track list. And it's like, no, this is no good. This is cool. Ah, it's okay. Good vocals. So the A&R started a long time ago.
5 out of 5.
It was.
Wood sign.
It was. I'll bring it next time I see you. I'll bring it. It's hilarious.
That's so, oh, okay. That's where the A&R started all the way back when you were a little kid still. Okay. And so you started listening to music. Well, Chicane started it all.
Yeah.
And from there on, there's also moments you were like, hey, I want to start making this music as well.
Yeah.
What was the road from listening to Chicane for the first time to opening a sequencer for the first time and making music?
First sequencer was EJ.
Same, Techno EJ.
Yeah, EJ. But that was like moving blocks around and stuff and using pre-drum loops. But
yeah, you're still doing that, to be honest.
That's literally all I'm doing. I still use EJ. No, I don't. I found it really interesting. But then I was really into that. And then I kind of got really obsessed with football.
Yeah.
Like soccer. And then I kind of left. And then I left music. And I was obsessed with football. And because like when you're 10 years old, like either you're going to be out playing with your kids, your mates in the field, or you're going to be inside being a nerd. And I just couldn't do both of them. So I did the football thing. And then I was like, no, actually, I really miss music. So then I got really back into music. And I got my first pair of decks.
Yeah.
Which were nothing like these. It was like this this terrible like box thing, and it was like you had to like the pitch was on like a little dial.
Yeah. You still see those in some bars.
So that was like, yeah, I was like 13, 14, and then just did like my mates' parties, like 16-year-old birthday parties, playing whatever was big at the time, bit of pop and all that. And then school education took over, and then kind of carried on DJing. And I think when I left, I went to music college, so I was doing classical music. I wasn't doing electronic music. And I finished there and I was like, I'm not really into this classical music thing. I really miss electronic music. I was DJing still a little bit, doing like weddings.
So classical is like classical composition,
yeah.
Piano, violin, or something like that.
Singing, singing stuff.
But you're a singer as well.
I was. I haven't sung in years.
No, we're going to change that in just a little bit. Stay tuned.
And then, long story short, a lot of DJing, and I was like, I left music college. I was like, what am I going to do? What am I good at? I need to earn some money. My parents were like, you're on your own now.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I walked into like a bar in Soho in London, and I was like, I can kind of mix two records together. Do you need a DJ? They were like, oh yeah, we'll give you a go. So I was doing that for a couple of years. And then it was like, I want to play my own records. I'm bored of playing other people's records.
Yeah.
So that's when it's started making my own records.
And how did you approach that? Because you were experienced as a DJ already, but making music is like a whole different ball game.
Yeah. To be honest, like I identified what I loved, and that was, you know, at this point, this was like 2010, 11, and it was like when the EDM boom was happening, and it was tracks like you know, Calvin Harris's earlier stuff and Swedish House Mafia, Otto Knows, all that kind of Avicii, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, I want to do this. And in the UK at this point, EDM had just happened, but it dipped so quickly and it became tech house. Yeah. You put on the radio, tech house, deep house, tech house. And I was like, no, I still like this melodic stuff. So I kind of just stuck out like a sore thumb and kind of just did the melodic big room stuff where no one else was really doing. All my friends were going to deep house and stuff like that.
Yeah. So you were making house.
Yeah. House.
Like EDM stuff.
Yeah. And then I did some commercial remixes for major labels. I did like a remix, not under Farius. I used to do stuff.
Adam Turner, look it up.
Do not look it up.
Look it up. I'm going to look it up.
All my secrets exposed. It was so bad. You know what? You know, the first records you write, like they're never that amazing and you have to go on that learning journey. But I did like records for like Robbie Williams and Paloma Faith and all those kind of bigger names. And then I was like, and this was 2016 now, I was like, I want to do my own thing. Like I want to do something. Let's think of a name. Let's write some original stuff. And that's why I started making records.
How did you come up with the name Farius? What does it come from?
It's meant to be a little iteration of nefarious, which means devil-like. But I was like, I don't want to be DJ nefarious. I don't think it really works. So I was like, let's take a little bit. So it's Farius.
But you're such an angelic guy.
Oh, thank you.
Here he is.
Well, you say that. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, kind of. But for the first release, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't make that one by yourself. You made it as a collab with Chris Becker.
Good knowledge. You've been doing some research.
I did. Yeah.
I did.
So London Sunrise on Vendors Records.
Wow. Yeah. And do you know what? That was incredible because that was the first time I got State of Trance play. Group therapy play. Like I was like, wow, this is it. I've made it. This is everything I wanted. And it was, yeah, Chris was amazing. I was kind of dabbling in this trancey world and I was playing a couple of gigs with Chris in Europe, on the gay scene in Europe. Mm-hmm. And he basically was like, let's do a record together. And
he's from Germany, right?
Yeah. He's in Berlin. And I have a lot to thank Chris for. You know, he introduced me to a lot of people and we did our first record on Vanda. I mean, to do your first record on Vanda is incredible. Like, normally people start really small little labels and they work their way up and they get support from people like you and from Armin. But actually, you know, to go straight in, and he had a good relationship with Vandit. So to go straight in there was kind of a bit surreal.
That's why I was wondering, because when I was doing the research for this podcast, I was like, the first release on Vandit, how is that possible? But then it all makes sense that you did previous recordings on different names, I guess, different projects.
Yeah. I mean, everyone starts somewhere. And I think what, if I could give any advice to younger producers, I think it would be like, just stick with what, like, don't follow the trend or the path of what your mates are doing or what the radio is telling you to do when you switch it on. Like, just stick with what you love. And that's where I think the success comes from. And that's what I was doing. I was like, I'm just going to keep writing this big melodic sound and eventually something's going to click. And then, suddenly it works like with Chris. He's like, let's do a record on Vandit. So, yeah.
Unbelievable.
And actually, funny story. You remember, it was that time. Do you remember when Paul had his accident?
Yeah.
That was yeah. It was literally that time. He was meant to be releasing in what was it? It was March 2016. And mm-hmm. It was because of that, because he couldn't release and he was in hospital.
Yeah.
The opportunity came up to do a record on Bandit in that spot. And it came out of nowhere. It was like 2 weeks' time. It was like, can you release in 2 weeks? I was like, yeah, of course. So it's funny how these things work.
And I guess it also, because definitely in 2016, the sound of Bandit was pretty much focused on uplifting. And what you see right now is that they have the separate labels.
Alternative, yeah.
Releasing really, really good stuff as well. Maybe you planted a little seed in there as well.
Yeah.
Instead of...
It did feel like it was very different. I remember the
fans.
Yeah,
because it didn't really make sense. That's what I remember from back then.
Yeah, the fans were like, what is this? Is this on Bandit? But I was, you know, like I was so... Like I said, like Chicane was my in.
Yeah.
But I have to be really honest. I was a late bloomer. I wasn't... You know, I couldn't name you a Tiësto record from 2002.
No.
You know, I didn't really know what the Vandit output was, and I had to learn really quickly that this wasn't the normal thing.
It worked out nicely though.
Yeah. And I'm really great. Alexa and Chris, like they were amazing. And, you know, you and Armin for playing the records from day one, Above and Beyond, everyone, you know, it's been incredible.
Awesome. And then later on, 2017, you came on my radar even more because you released a bunch of tunes on my label, Statement Recordings.
Yeah, that's right.
Westwood, Brave One, and then the Ellipse and Tempest EP.
Wow, yeah. Wow, we're really going back now.
We're really going back. And what I remember the artworks. I remember, and also vividly, yeah. I remember, I think it was Tempest. When you sent it to me, I was in Ibiza. I was playing High as a warm-up for Armin. And I was like, holy shit, this is a nice tune. And then I played it the same night. That's why I will always remember that.
I wish I'd known that.
Yeah.
You tell me that all these years later, I wish I'd known that. That would have been so cool.
Yeah, it was a nice little story. 2017. From there on, you released on Delirium. That's the label of Dave Pierce, right?
Yeah.
For a while. And 03 came aboard as well. That's where you maybe started gravitating a little bit more to the progressive kind of stuff instead of just the harder banging stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I like... The stuff with Dave, you know, that was incredible. He was a guy that I listened to from day one.
Absolute legend, you know, from BBC One, of course. Yeah.
And we're still in touch. He's such a nice guy, and he put so much time and effort into me. And I have a lot to thank Dave for, huge amounts to thank him for. But that was, it was definitely more of the bigger trance, can I say 2.0? It was that bigger stuff that I really loved. And then, did some bits on 03, and Jamie, again, someone else who I have so much time.
Jamie Kemp.
Jamie Kemp, he put so much time and dedication and energy into me when he really didn't have to, actually. Like, he didn't have to at all, but we got on well. Yeah, he was doing stuff with different artists. There's people like Pete Kay was on there at the time, Colony. And I kind of went a bit more proggy. I did records like Echo Chamber and 90069. But I still was lean. I was always the bigger artist, not status wise, but bigger artists in terms of the output. You know, it was me and Tim Mason.
Yeah.
And then, totally understandably, you know, Jamie was like, I think I want to take this a bit deeper and a bit more progressive. And that's when I moved over to Enhanced.
Yeah. Well, before that, you also had a release on the State of Trance 2019.
Yes. Yeah,
forget that one.
I know, you're right.
You should know.
You should know.
Oh, you should know that release was in 2019.
Ding, ding. I think I sent it to Jamie and I was like, this isn't right for you. Do you mind if I send it to Armin? And he was like, go for it. So yeah, no, that was big. You know, it's funny. You like talking about it now. We live, like, life is so fast paced. It's so fast moving. And it's like next record, next reel on Instagram, next this. So it's actually... you don't really get a chance to sit and reflect on what you've done. And for me, in a very short space of time. But you're right, I you know, you forget about these things.
Even the EPs on Statements.
Yeah. No, I remember them. Brave One, I mean, Brave One was a real
break. I remember the artwork was like a Superman on the front. Yeah, that was a nice one.
The artwork, who did the artwork? It was so good.
Was Robert Nixon here.
Really good.
So, yeah.
Must have taken so long.
Yeah.
Because every other label just puts out, you know, it's custom artwork. This is like incredible.
That's what I always wanted to do, because in the past, I remember buying the vinyls for Armin, for example, or any vinyl had a connection to the song. And it was always like, when you would flip to the vinyls, you were always like, okay, this is the track. Mm-hmm. So you recognize it by the cover as well. That's what I always tried to do with a Statement as well.
Yeah, but I think it's difficult, like, you know, as we know, it takes a lot for a label to put out a lot of music every week. Well, some do a lot. I mean, I think Statement, you were a bit more selective than what you were doing back then, so maybe you had more time. But I think for some labels to do that, such in-depth, detailed artwork.
Well, to be really honest with you, this is totally off the... I mean, if you make a tune, sometimes it takes you 3 months just to create a tune. And an artwork like this maybe costs a day, something like that. So I think it's...
You felt like it was justified.
It's justified, yeah.
Yeah.
To put a little bit of extra time and energy and costs into a release. Because I think nowadays what happens too much with labels is that record labels just sign tracks as content.
Yeah.
It's like one post on socials and then the track is gone while you pour your heart and soul into a tune.
Yeah.
And then it's just, okay, here's another post or here's a release, or you have to be happy that sometimes a label posts about something.
Yeah. I think it's... It's a really good point you make, because I saw it that way, but having gone into the A&R side of things and seeing how labels work, I understand that, you know, it's a business as well. You know, people need to make money
and
people have bills to pay. So they're like, let's sign. And I'm not putting this on Enhanced at all, but like, I do understand why, you know, labels sign a lot of music. Armada used to sign a lot of music.
Yeah.
I think it's only in time that you kind of realize in the business model might change of labels, and that's when you start being more selective and stuff. Like 03 still puts out two a month.
That's
which,
it.
Yeah, which is cool. I really respect.
And but in the meantime, they also have Toolroom backing up the costs for certain stuff as well.
Exactly.
So I guess that's how you can see it. But I just wanted to point it out as well. So 2019, you already mentioned this as a big and important step in Hensign.
Yeah.
That you switched to Enhanced. Tell us what happened.
Well, I was making records with 03. And as I say, Jamie wanted to make it a bit more deeper and progressive. And I totally respected that at the time. But I was like, I started Farious to do what I want to do. I don't want to do something that people want me to do. I want to do it for me. And I was just, I still loved that big trancey sound. And Enhanced felt like a good place. Enhanced was a label I had so much respect for. Enhanced Progressive more than Enhanced Recordings, because at that time, Enhanced Recordings was doing a lot of more sort of commercial
pop,
commercial pop stuff. Which was great, but not really my thing. So when I got the opportunity to release on Enhanced Progressive, it was big. Because I remember listening to the promos back through 2012, 13, 14 and loved it. And then there I was releasing on the label as well, and it was cool. And yeah, it was a big step, because it really felt like... Like arrived home, if you know what I mean. It felt like a very natural fit. Not that it didn't on Estate of Trance or on 03, it felt good, but this was like, it was London as well. It was like-
Everything just clicked.
Exactly. The sound clicked, the location clicked, and the guys there are great as well.
Yeah, I have to agree as well. I think if you look back into the start of Estate of Trance, well, I think Enhanced started in 2008, something like that, eight. Especially at that time, I think we would play every single tune, and then we still do, because the quality is so high. So you're doing a good job over there, because you're not only releasing music as well, you're also part of the whole team, right?
Yeah. That was complete coincidence. It was just before COVID, and they asked me if I wanted to help out with some A&R, and I was like, no.
So A&R is scouting for new tracks and building relationship with artists and delivering.
Working on the new music with them. You get sent one demo and you might say, this is really cool, but maybe it could benefit from...
You would write it on the CD. Like,
and post it back.
Yeah.
it was complete coincidence. And I was like, no, I'm busy. I want to focus on Farious and Farious only.
Yeah.
But actually I was like, you know, why not? Let's give it a go. I've just turned 30 or whatever. And I was like, yeah, this is time to maybe think about something a bit more stable rather than flying around and trying to chase the next gig or the next whatever.
Yeah.
And that was 2020, and then COVID happened, and thank God I took that part-time role at Enhanced doing A&R. And that was three years ago.
We're 2022 right now. So
Four years already.
Insane, time flies.
I know.
All right, now let's talk about switching roles from artist to A&R. What has been the hardest thing in there? Because before you started, you were only focused on your own music, your own career, and suddenly you have to think about careers of other artists as well.
I think I found at the start, I found it really creatively exciting, putting your creative juices into somebody else's work.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed that when I started. What became difficult, and I still struggle with, completely hold my hands up, is working with artists who are more talented than you. And I know this. There are artists on Enhance, and I would never want to make a secret or lie and say I'm the best producer on Enhance, because I'm not. There are so many talented people, like someone like Houseman, who you support a lot on the show. Yeah. He's technically
insane,
so good.
Yeah.
You know, his sound is so good. I can't do that. But what I can bring is other elements to my music, which works. And I think I went through a big stage of being really worried about, like, but if I'm giving them feedback, if I'm saying your record's not good enough, like when I put my record out, I feel even more scrutinized and judged. Do you know what I mean?
That's difficult. What you call the imposter syndrome.
Yeah, totally. And before then, it's just like, write a record, put it out. You know, this, write a new melody, put it out. And now I'm really overthinking, like, how do I make it even better than the last one? How do I make it?
Because
as
you put
good?
The bar higher for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was and still continues to be the biggest struggle.
But I don't think you have any reason to do that, because you're doing a good job, man, to be
honest. Well, thank you. That's kind. Yeah, it feels good. I think, it, you know, these things for me, I find peaks and troughs in my creativity, and all of the factors around you, including doing A&R with other people, can hinder or help you. And sometimes I come home from a day of doing A&R really inspired, going, oh, yeah, I really want to get stuck in. But some days I go,
Too much music.
Well, you know what it's like. You listen to music all day long.
Yeah.
Then you get home. Like, do you want to write records? No.
No, hell no. You want to play some video games or just chill.
Chill, yeah. Watch TV or go out or want to see friends. So yeah, I think I do struggle with that, finding that balance. But hey, nothing's perfect. Everyone's got their struggles.
Yeah, yeah, true. And it's what you say. Sometimes you hear music that really inspires you. Like, hey, wow, that's a good idea. Yeah. Or, oh, whoa, that's a good sound. I want to try that at home as soon as I can.
Yeah.
And then you try it and it sucks.
No, that is what happens. You do get to a point where
or it works out really nicely and you make a tune in one evening.
That also happens as well. There's no rhyme or reason. Yeah. I have to say, working with other artists has been really inspiring, and I've recently discovered the joy of doing collaborations, working with other producers and bouncing ideas off, not necessarily just in the studio with them.
So exciting.
Like, you know, working with so people that I never thought I would work with, yourself. You know, I'm sure we'll come on to it. We just done a record together recently, and which is coming soon on Enhanced.
Yeah.
But, you know, working with Andrew Bayer this year was incredible.
One of the best producers in the world.
I mean, like I said to you, I always play his records last, the collab last, because everything I mix in after sounds not so great.
That's not true, man. That's not true.
And
but Andrew, I understand.
Yeah,
I
just done a record with Solar Stone as well, which is on Digital Enhanced, you know. So it's... Yeah, working with other people really, I can't stress enough how inspiring that is.
Yeah. So now I'm going to ask you another question about A&R, because I find it interesting, because you hear so much demos as well. What would you say about the current trend in music? Because what I see for myself is that promoters that used to book trend stuff, they book techno artists or deep house artists. So what would you advise someone that is in the position that makes the same sort of music that you do, for example, or myself, like the 130, 132 progressive stuff, what would you advise an artist like that? Because most of the times there's hardly any space for these people in lineups.
Yeah. I think it depends what you want to get out at the end of the day, what you want to get out of it. If you want to make a lot of money very fast, don't make trance. Being really honest.
Yeah.
Make something that's going to get on, you know, Radio 1 daytime. Make something that's going to get on those evening, the specialist shows.
But so then you're a dance right now.
Well, exactly, yeah. But also, like, work out what you want. Because if you just want to do that, then fine, do it. But I would suggest to somebody who makes, the original question, somebody who makes similar records to me, keep at it. Like, it's tough. It's a tough, competitive, oversaturated space. In many respects, you have to work out where your love is. Is it just sitting in your room and writing music and pouring out your creative talent and your creative energy into music? Or do you want to focus on, okay, well, I want to get on this lineup, in which case I need to make this kind of music.
Yeah.
So I think there's two different strands. You want to be business. If you want to be creative. And the what is it? The, you know, the, the perfect bit is when they align.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think you always need to pursue your passion and just make something you really believe in. Because I think if you ride the waves always run out really fast.
And people see through it as well.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell that. And, you know, I've got artists that I've worked with in the past who do one thing and then they send me something that's completely different. And then they were like, actually, we want to, you know, for instance, like people who make 138 trance, then they do progressive trance because that was big. And now they're sending me records for Color Eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no,
hey, I switched my sound a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I respect that, yeah, in many ways, but also I go, just do what you love. If this is what you love,
then do it.
Then then do it. But then if I get a record, you know, when Eurodance is big and it's, you know, okay, now I'm going to do this. It's like, no, come on, like, you know, have integrity about what you do.
Yeah.
I would always say that. And I feel like I've tried to do that as much as possible myself.
No, yeah, I agree with you. You're here for a good reason. Because enhanced, digitally enhanced, it's. I think it existed from the very beginning of enhanced recordings.
Yeah.
It was mixed by Will Holland. He stopped doing it in 2013. I think that's around the same time that he stopped making music as well.
Yeah.
But you came in to enhanced in 2019. And after 3 years, you were like, hey, that's a nice little brand we have going on here. I need to bring that back to life.
Yeah. To be honest, it was more Will's idea than mine. I did say to him, I was like, I think we had the same idea at the same time. And I was kind of like, okay, this is obviously where my home is now, enhanced. I'd just done an album as well in 2020.
And you host a radio show?
And now I do the radio show for them as well. And it kind of just made sense. Will, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying, you know, he stopped making music and being an artist to focus on the business side of things.
Yeah.
Which is great because that, you know, he's taken enhanced to the next level with that. But I think it's, and I might be completely speaking out of turn, but I feel like when I joined enhanced, he kind of felt like there was somebody that could take that baton on, even though it had been sitting lying low for a little bit.
Be the face of the brand.
Yeah, particularly for Enhanced Progressive. Obviously, we know, you know, Enhanced is co-owned by Tritonal.
Yeah.
They release some Enhanced recordings and they've come back recently to doing the more progressive trancey stuff, which I love. And it kind of felt like all the stars kind of aligned a little bit as well because they just moved back from making the more commercial stuff with the Chainsmokers and stuff like that. And they were doing more trancey stuff. And
Prana, kind of course.
And now they're Prana stuff, which is amazing. So it just kind of aligned. So, you know, last year it was like, should we do just Enhanced? What would it be? Number 7. And we invited 11 along to do the other half of the mix.
The boys.
With me.
Yeah.
Boys.
Yeah.
And that was great fun. And we did a couple of shows in America around it, which was cool. It was around when I did Dream State last year as well. And then, yeah, here we are with Volume 8 and joined by you.
Well, the funny thing is I never expected this to happen. But
I didn't think you'd say yeah. So thanks.
Yeah. Well, I would like to know, how did you guys come up with asking me? Like, because it's totally not obvious that you would ask someone like me to mix the comp.
I think it's about finding somebody who has a good understanding of what this music is. You know, Digital Enhanced was always showcasing new, fresh, exciting, the where the genre was going, but also keeping that sort of recognizable sound that Enhanced has as well. And I think, who better than somebody who produces the biggest trance radio show in the world every week to know what he's doing. And also, you know, it's helped that you're kind of doing your own stuff now as well. You've got a statement and you're able to be a bit more free reined in what you can do, I guess.
Because I remember when, I think you asked me first, I think, if it was interesting, and then Will Holland called me and I was like, what? Will Holland is calling you? What did I do? did I do something wrong? Or is no. And I was like, wow, that's a big honor, because I remember getting those CDs as well.
Digitally.
And it was such a big brand. And I was like, okay, let's do this. And wrote two original tunes. One of them already, I made that one with Matt Fax. I've been playing that since 2019 already, something like that. And the same Matt always.
Great song.
Yeah, Stokbrood, the follow-up baguette.
What does the title mean?
Stokbrood, it's a bread.
Oh,
so on one side, we did baguette on statement.
Oh.
And then the Dutch, that's the French word of bread. And then we have the Dutch word.
I didn't know that. I thought it was a city.
No, Stokbrood.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Of course, a new one with Anea.
Auna.
Auna, yeah. Fantastic vocalist that you hooked me up with as well. And we did a collaboration.
Yeah, Radiant.
Yeah.
With the incredible David Frank on the vocals. That's on the comp. That was cool, you know. Like I said, like there's something really liberating about working with other people. And
Well, yeah, I have to say you did the line part of it because I think you found a nice spark in the studio and you're like, holy shit, I'm working hard on it.
I think it was, you know, it's about what two people bring to one record, or even, as you know, more than two people bring to one record. It doesn't have to be split percentage wise equally. You know, people bring their experience and their knowledge. You may have gone like, this structure is terrible, like tear it apart and redo it. Do you know what I mean? So there are plenty of...
Yeah, I'm really happy how it turned out. And I played it in the show already, and I have to say the reaction is really good.
Here or a
live
show?
Live shows,
okay, cool. Yeah.
So
I'm excited for that to come out, and that's coming out 2 weeks after the compilation. So I think it's...
The compilation is coming out?
10th of November.
10th of November.
Yeah.
Two mixes.
Two mixes.
Lots of new music from yourself as well.
Yeah, one that I played on the guest mix.
Yep.
Another one, just a solo one, which is just like a bigger trancey one, and then collaboration with you and a collaboration with Solar Stone, which was cool. I'm really excited about that.
Absolute legend.
It kind of has the hallmarks of like a classic Solar Stone record, but then it gets to this breakdown, and he just sent me a chord progression and I was like, this is nice, and I kind of produced it out, then he did a little bit and I did a little bit, and it's got this big sort of, dare I say, old arty kind of leads in the drop. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for you to hear it. I hope you like it.
I'm kind of curious right now. I want to hear it.
It's good. I'm happy with it. I think it's good.
Besides that, we're going to do a release party as well.
Yeah, in London on the 2nd of December. Mm-hmm. You, me, that's enough, right? No, you, me, Lena Punks, Tommy Farrow, who of course has done stuff on Armada. Super cool. I'm really excited about what Tommy's going to bring to that show because I think he's going to shake up the sound a little bit. And then of course, Sonny Lax, who I've been a long time admirer of as well.
And tickets are flying. It's going to be sold out.
Tickets are flying. Soon. So if you haven't got your ticket yet, then get it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for answering all these questions.
Anytime.
And show a little bit of insight of what's going on in the world of Farious.
Thank you for having
which
me.
Which is a lot, to be honest.
Appreciate it, mate.
So a little scoop. Most likely you're going to be there in Rotterdam next year.
I think so. You've said it now on the podcast. So it's got to happen.
So now it's going to happen.
Cool.
The agent's going to clip this and send this to all. They're like, hey, you have to book this guy. So I'll see you there. And otherwise for one of those release parties. And keep an eye out for the compilation. Digitally Enhanced Volume 8.
That's the one.
All right. Thank you so much for answering once again. Next time, we're going to be back with a new podcast. In the studio, we're going to have Murray Healy. So that's going to be nice. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal. A State of Trance Podcast.